G'day golfers. Ever found yourself redirecting blame and making excuses after having an absolute shocker on a golf course? I know that I have. Range was closed, I was a little cold, didn't warm up, I hit it in those three old divots. Then we have the podcast for you. We focus on how to fundamentally own your swing. Strike it pure and consistently shoot in the 70s. Be it if you're a weekend hack, retired and playing daily, a school phenom, or a tour professional. We present and discuss facts and physics pertaining to golf, trying to keep our ego and opinion at bay. We dispel myths such as keep your head down, bend your knees, or my all-time favorite, game improvement irons. So stop drinking that mythical Kool-Aid and have a sip of ours. I think you'll find it both inspiring and refreshing. I'm Scott Young, founder of Swing, PGA professional and ex-tour player. And together with physical therapist, Dr. Sean Joyce, welcome to Pivot the Path. G'day, golfers, and good morning, SJ.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Pivot the Path.
I'm glad to see you not come up in the scooter, dude. That does make me happy. I know timing's a little longer.
Today I was late sitting on the train there.
I know, but Rosie and I are happy for your welfare that there's no more scooter.
What was the
scooter point there? Was Marie saying, hey, buddy, enough with the scooter?
She's happy to see it bust up. Yeah. And retire the thing. It's still sitting in my apartment.
Oh, it's because it's broken.
A piece broke that keeps the handlebar up. So it's unrideable currently.
We love scooters, but not in yours.
Yeah, I've been grounded.
We love you being grounded. We like your limbs where they're meant to be.
I agree.
I remember I was on a bike down to B&H Electric, and I love getting a city bike in the city. Just love it. Having used to grow up riding a bike.
Yeah.
And I was hammering down the west just on on 11th.
Yeah.
And a delivery guy opened the door in the bike lane, and I hit him and went over the handlebars.
Swung flying, yeah.
But I was all right.
It's a little dicey out there in New York City.
We love you to catch a train and be late.
Yeah.
Mate, what a week.
Great week for golf. Great week for me.
So you had a mate who you grew up with?
Yeah, met one of my oldest buddies. Shout out to Kennedy down in Jacksonville. We played TPC Sawgrass, both courses there.
So how was that?
It's pretty amazing.
Okay.
The grounds are just spectacular. Every blade of grass is where it's supposed to be.
Oh, so it's pristine on this tournament.
Really nice. Because the players was a month ago or so. So it's in, as good a shape as ever. It's starting to get really hot down there. So they had kind of said this is about prime time for people coming down to play. Tough course. It's long. Okay. A lot of those famous holes.
Did you guys play off the back?
Yeah, we did.
Awesome. And cost? And how much are we talking?
That's where the conversation gets less positive. It's expensive.
All right. What are we
talking? For a round of golf, we're talking like $700 before tax.
Holy moly.
The other course, Dyes Valley, is about half that. And I don't think it's necessarily worth it, but the stadium course is special.
Okay. Okay.
But that's for that cost, I don't know.
It's a lot of Bugs Bunny.
I don't know if you can justify it. That's up to each person. But
yeah, totally.
It was really fun, really difficult. I think hardest course I've played, hands down.
In terms of visual or
so
water
visual,
carrying?
Yes, off the tee boxes. You just see a lot of water, a lot of bunker, a lot of rough. You don't see much fairway.
You don't see landing points. Yeah,
there's some space. They're pretty thin fairways. And then greens are really fast, slow.
Did you
hard,
get grain? Did you
and a lot of
that
grain?
Well?
Yeah. So especially used to being up here, I feel like grain isn't as much of a factor as it was down there.
Yeah, 100%.
I struggled to read putts big time. So there's a caddy there helping us, and
okay.
I often had it going the other way than where it actually went. So
I've played obviously a lot down in Florida, and if you, I've had actually putts not break up a hill, but kind of.
Yeah.
And
you're
like,
I had that
what?
Feeling.
Yeah.
It was like there's, and I'd hit a putt, it didn't go where I thought it was. I'd walk around, look at it again, and I'm still like.
Yeah.
Don't see it.
So we talked about the grain. You just got to do some time in the crease. The easiest way to do it is light and dark. Could you get the light and dark or not?
A bit. Depended on the lighting.
Yeah.
When it was, we got great weather, which was super fortunate. But when the sun was just straight above you, not much shadow going on. It's hard to see it, I felt. Yeah. But
now, what did you take? What did we worked on a little bit
yesterday. So you helped me. So I didn't hit the ball as well as I wanted to. Had some great shots, but then the bad ones were more bad. So the thing I'm working on currently, or battling more so, is just not spinning out with my upper half, my torso first.
And just a little bit of posture. Yeah. So I noticed that when Sean would get into posture beautifully here, and then just little idiosyncrasy, just before you pulled the trigger, you sat in your heels, which
sit
is
in a bit.
Flat, not steep.
Yeah. So it's one of those things, easy fix, but I did it all weekend. Routine. So yeah, yeah. So I ended up, I was texting Scotty back and forth a little bit, and he just said process, process, process. I did a pretty good job of that, but I got some things to iron out.
Yeah, so do I. So you know, we never stop. The day you stop, the day you give it away. So we're just going to get a little more what feels like you're on your toes, but it'll be balls of your feet, just to get some width rather than whipping it behind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is probably, again, not giving you an out, but giving you an out. It's probably because you do work on people so much that you're bended, and we just got to get out of that.
Yeah. Open it up a little bit.
So news from the fairways. Oh. I mean, wow, what a week.
Lots to talk about this morning.
Where should we start here? Young fella?
Yeah, it's a good place to start, and we'll work up from there.
Yeah, so Miles Russell. For those who don't know, Korn Ferry Tour is the secondary PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And Miles Russell is a 15-year-old kid. He's just a wee bit older than my eldest, which
he's a freshman in high school, played in a Korn Ferry event. So pretty crazy he's out there with, you know, full-grown men, twice his age.
He's
more.
Come top 20. Mm-hmm. He's had eagles and birdies. He's actually, we wrote down what he shot here. So he shot 68, 66, 70, and a closing 5 under 66.
Another 66,
at 15 years of age.
Yeah. So to not only be there, lefty, but then to play well is unbelievable.
It's insane. And unfortunately, he doesn't even make the media, but mainstream media.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
And he played well enough to qualify for another Korn Ferry event.
So you were telling me the stats yesterday. So you're not allowed to be accepted into the tour until you're 18?
I think
18?
He has to be 18 years old. Yeah. Yep. He also can't accept money either for his
So the guy who came tied 21st is loving Miles.
Yeah, got a little extra cash in his pocket.
They get that cash, but what an amazing story. I don't know anything about him. Seems a young...
he's ranked the number one, I think, junior golfer. He's won the AJGA Player of the Year Award.
So how did he get a start? You say he got a sponsor.
So he got a sponsor's exemption. I don't know exactly who it was from.
So
but
probably dad or mom knows someone at the event.
That's got him awesome. In, but he was good enough to hold his own. He deserved to be there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, what does a 15-year-old do after shooting scary figures?
Goes back and does homework.
Yeah, it does homework. How's your algebra, dude? I don't know. I just clearly made 80 grand, which I couldn't receive.
Yeah.
Such a great story. So insane. Who knows what's happening with Miles?
Yeah.
I presume he's US Open pre-queuing.
Probably.
So that would be an awesome story.
Yes, keep an eye out for Miles Russell.
That's
bright future ahead.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And to have eagles on a Korn Ferry event where they're probably playing close to 7,000 yards.
Yeah.
And he's really nothing. Impressive. He's like this big.
Yeah, he's not fully grown, nowhere near. So.
Which gets back to our mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Just insane. And then where do we start? Golf's in a good spot right
there's
now.
There's some cool stuff going on. Yeah. And hopefully this will bring some viewership in. But we've got two dominating forces on both PGA and LPGA
which is cool right now.
Scottie Scheffler and Nellie Korda are going nuts.
So Scottie Scheffler's won 4 out of his last 5. And Nellie's gone, well, I'll double that and raise you 10.
I'll raise you another win.
Yeah. And
5 in a row.
5 in a row, including a major.
Yeah. Yeah, which is insane for the fifth one to be a major that she won.
We just think Nellie Korda deserves so much recognition. I mean, it's a little frustrating for me that I listen to Bloomberg Radio every morning and she hardly even made the mainstream media news.
Yeah.
But it's all PGA. Nellie Korda's unbelievable. So, I mean, pivot a little bit. Let's start with Scotty. So what's he done? He's just crushed.
Yeah, so won 4 of the last 5. The one tournament he didn't win of those 5, he was tied second.
Right?
So he's right there.
So you were saying yesterday, so he said 36 consecutive par or better rounds.
Yeah, 37 we've got.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, so I was thinking about this and I was, like we're talking about being down at TPC Sawgrass, you know, since the Players was just a month ago, I watched every bit of it. Then I got to go play the course afterwards. It made me appreciate how good their short game is, but it got me thinking, okay, if Scottie Scheffler's gone 37 rounds of par or better,
have you
seen anyone you played with yourself go on a streak?
No, it's absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Not since Tiger. I mean, just to pivot a little bit. So we're going to talk about Nellie in a second, but we've got Tiger, who's had 5, 6, and 7 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Annika Sorensen, Nancy Lopez, Ben Hogan, and Byron Nelson. I mean, there's some pretty massive names that Nelly's now a part of, but Scotty Scheffler's not far away.
Yeah, pretty insane. And more opportunity to come. Both of them are still on a hot streak
Scotty's
currently.
Not playing this. I presume both of them have.
I think Nelly Korda's drawn out from or pulled out from the next event. Yeah. I believe Scotty Scheffler as well. So when they're back out there, though,
so
you know, Scotty a little
Scheffler,
rest.
There's a little bit of a. There's a little bit of an interesting dialogue going on.
Yeah.
So
why
don't we just unpack that a little bit? I think as a golf nut, as we both are, his process is astronomical because he appears to just completely stay shot for shot. And it would appear that faith and religion is his almost bubble.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful thing. I remember shout out Johnny Novak back in Sydney, who was my sports psych. And Aaron Baddeley was a mate I kind of grew up watching, and Aaron relies very heavily on his faith. And I never kind of understood that growing up. And so John said to me, my sports psych, buddy, you're not going to compete with that. Because when a golfer turns up to a golf event and believes that they're not in control, ultimately someone else is, that's crazy powerful.
Yeah.
In terms of just taking pressure off.
Yeah, if you just think of mental game, if you can stand over every shot and be okay with whatever happens, knowing you've prepared and you're going to put your best effort, then you're free to just play golf.
He's in a really powerful position right now.
Yeah.
Because obviously his preparation is second to none. He strikes me as...
Can't fault that.
Cannot fault preparation. I mean, can't fault him. I think he's
absolutely phenomenal.
Just
in any way.
The issue appears to be that because it's a little more conservative, certainly from a religious background, they haven't jumped on him like a tiger.
Yeah.
It's weird because he deserves every accolade there ever is, but yet the media haven't jumped on him just yet. They're soft to jump on his bandwagon.
Yeah, a little tough to say. And I think we had been talking for a while about, you know, we need some new heroes in golf or kind of someone to step away from the pack in PGA Tour. And he's doing exactly that. And he's just doing it with his performance.
And he's so polite and he's so grounded and family. And he seems just like such an awesome
killer. Just a stand-up guy.
Just a stand-up guy.
Can golf a ball.
Wondering why the media don't jump on him. But maybe they're a little scared because he is conservative. But he is just absolutely unbelievable. His stats are insane.
Yeah.
And he's what? So he's got a new putter in his hand 5 weeks ago, and then he's gone win, second, win, win, win.
Yeah, he put the mallet in and he's just pulled away from
it. And one would argue that it's his preparation up until that point and just something clicked.
And I believe he has a new putting coach as well he started working with in the recent history. So things are trending in the right direction.
So Scotty Scheffler, we're loving to see you in the next Open and PGA to see what happens there.
Yeah, see if someone can chase him down one of these tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, if he's turning up to a golf event and he thinks, well, you know, the Lord kind of is shaping where I need to go, I just got to turn up with ultimate preparation, which is preparation is faultless.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you can succumb to pressure with it.
Yeah, good luck to the rest of the field.
Good luck to the rest of the field. And he bombs it a mile.
Yeah.
I saw a little tweet that popped up into my Instagram or whatever feed it was, and they had his clubs with a, albeit that it was, I think it was TrackMan or one of the launch monitors, but they would say, how far are you going to hit this?
Yeah.
And he was bang on, I'm going to hit my 8-iron, you know, 178, and it was 178.4.
Right on it, yeah.
So getting back to your point at TPC, I don't think these guys hit ultimately that much better shots, but their control is insane.
Yeah.
Like I know for a fact, if I took my clubs out right now, my distance control would be okay, but it's not sublimely brilliant like Scheffler's.
Yeah.
I mean, to say I'm going to hit 3-wood, I think it was yesterday, 278, and it was 278.5 carry.
Yeah.
As soon as you hit it, I'm like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So what it means is that when you're playing a golf course like TPC with so much water and visual lack of depth, when we played Ferry Point, the seventh hole, when we weren't quite sure how far to carry it,
if
you know exactly how far you're carrying it, golf's simple.
Yeah, makes the game a lot easier. Yeah.
And then if you're standing over the shot going, well, listen, I'm ultimately not control. I'm not in control of this. There's bigger pitches at play.
Yeah.
That's invincible.
Yeah, it's just swing by swing.
Swing by swing.
Yeah, it's really impressive.
It's really impressive. And mate, good luck with the kid coming up, first time dad.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, things will change when you're a dad. But ultimately, no, because he believes that he's the vessel that, you know, a higher power operates through. you could pack as much onto him as you, and it doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
I think he's remarkable.
Yeah.
Good luck to him.
Pretty crazy.
Hopefully he wins 10 in a row.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens. I'm not sure. We'll have to look into that. But, and then of course, you know, the even one up performance from that, which is hard to do, is Nelly Korda, 5 in a row. Five and counting.
I mean, I'm a tennis nut, as we've talked about. I actually didn't know until you said 2 days ago, oh, you know her dad's Peter Korda.
I think her mom as well, professional tennis, both of them.
So I grew up watching Peter Korda, but I didn't put him and her together.
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, he won the Aussie Open, I think 98, 99, wherever it was, 98.
Yeah.
And I remember watching him, but I didn't know that was her old man.
Yeah, well, now you do. But so it makes sense. She's got that, you know, winning championship kind of mentality, probably bred in. And
her sister's was on LPGA.
Yep, sister was. Is a bit older than her, I believe. But, man, she's on a tear.
And then Nelly's partner is an NHL hockey player.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wasn't aware.
Oh, it's insane. So it's so that kind of brings us to the question, do we think that Nelly has a predisposition because of her old man and her mum? Certainly her old man, Grand Slam winner. Mm-hmm. You've got to have an option to be potentially be good at sport just inherently.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's some genetics physically, but then, of course, just...
She's 5'10", 5'11".
Yeah.
I mean, she's, to be fair, she's physically more capable than most any other person on the LPGA because she hits it further.
Yeah.
She was hitting 6 irons into the last, that par 5.
Yeah.
When the girls in the same group were hitting rescues and 3 woods.
Yeah.
So if she's hitting like a 6 iron and they're hitting, I mean, she's just dominating distance. Mm-hmm. I would love to see the pins to be a little more difficult. Like the 18th, the pin was top left. I'm like, you've got water there. If that's PGA Tour, the pins cut over the water.
Yeah.
So the pins are a little bit easier. Hmm. I would like to see them be a little more difficult. But she's just insane. Her pre-shot routine is brilliant. Her putting for me is amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really smooth. Her whole game just seems very tidy and buttoned up.
So we'll see where they go. I mean, we've got Nelly and Scotty Scheffler just absolutely dominating.
Going crazy, yeah.
And the first prize was what? She got 930 grand for her major.
Yep.
Whereas the first prize for a men's major is like $3.5 million.
Yeah, at this point,
So there's a little bit of disparity there.
Yeah, for sure. But hey, it's a call out for the rest of the tours to try and step up and catch them.
Yeah,
so I hope it brings a couple other people into the mix.
Thinking back on your lacrosse days, did you, like they talked about when she was interviewed off the 18th, they said, how did you stay so calm? And she said, I nearly threw up. I was so nervous on the back nine.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a really interesting comment.
Yeah.
I mean, she just dominated. She won by whatever, 3 or 4.
And seemed cool as a cucumber the whole way, but really.
What did you do thinking back on your lacrosse days? I know Johnny Novak used to get us to quiet and we used to turn off the lights, look at a candle and just practice on being present with surroundings going on.
Yeah.
Which I think getting back to the conversation between, say, a Scotty and a Tiger, Tiger was so emotionally rollercoastering. And that's why we loved him, because we saw him up and we saw him down and he drew us into a customer experience.
Yeah.
I understand that people are a little nonchalant with Scotty because he's so
there's calm. Not many highs and lows. It's so steady.
It's so steady. It's remarkably boring, but it's so powerful in how boring it is. That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
What did you do with your lacrosse looking back?
I mean, looking back, I can say, like you said about Nelly Korda almost throwing up on the back nine. I was always super nervous before big games. The more it meant, the more nervous I was. But, you know, I lived with a few of my teammates and we always prepared kind of the same way. So I had some structure in that, I think, that helped ease some of the nervousness. So, you know, we made food the day before, team meeting, breakfast the morning of, you know, you have your whole little personal routine as well, getting ready. And then it's just show up and do your best, but you have to rely that you prepared well enough for it to go well.
Yeah. It gets back to one thing that Nelly said on the weekend was they had her and a caddy had their game plan and they had already had a predisposition to how they were going to play the holes, which just screams preparation, preparation, preparation.
Yeah.
Scotty Scheffler, preparation, preparation, preparation.
Yeah.
So I think whilst the religion thing seems to be a little bit of an elephant in the room in the golf industry, the dude's preparation is excellent.
Yeah, unbelievable. And he actually had said leading up to RBC Heritage, I think after the Masters and everything, he didn't feel like he was able to prepare as well as he normally does.
Wow.
Didn't have as much time. He was a bit rusty.
Yeah.
He even talked in one of his interviews, he shanked a shot out of a bunker.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I rarely do that, especially in competition, but I felt a little bit rough around the edges, I think, in preparation going in, but he still won the dang thing.
Oh, it's so good. I've played Harbour Town a lot. It's a great track. If you ever get the chance to get down there, it's really, but it is wide open. Like the TV doesn't portray it probably as honestly as you can miss it there a little
bit. It looks pretty narrow on the TV.
Like 18, for example, that looks super narrow.
Yeah.
18's about
150
yards wide.
Okay, yeah.
But depth-wise, it's about 80 yards deep. But you've got, yeah, so the landing area is huge. But take nothing away. The guy's so good.
Yeah, so if that's him not as well prepared as normal, again, we
think
good luck to the rest of the field.
So what does that tell you? So what we're trying to do in here is change the culture of practice. We're saying, hey, when you come in to do your hour of practice, whether it's at your golf course or inside here at Swing or wherever you practice, we try and discourage just walking in. There's still a couple. We've got a couple. We're getting rid, you know, we're changing their pattern.
Yeah, yeah.
But we've still got a couple of guys who walk in and hit driver within five swings. Like, pump the brakes.
Yeah. Slow down.
Slow down. Work on your shot shape. I've got to work on just getting back to the inside a little bit. I played last week and I was a little bit on top of it with Paul. So I've got to get a little bit underneath it and disassociate a little more.
Yeah.
But just have preparation so you know what to work on to improve your process when you're playing.
Yeah, and just something as simple as like your pre-shot routine. So when Scotty had said to me, process, 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 I took that as pre-shot routine. Just do it every time. Give every shot a chance.
Yeah.
And that helps you rein in when you have a couple bad holes or a couple bad shots and you're frustrated. If you then lose the process, you're going to just tornado, you know, downward spiral.
You'll often hear golf pros say, I'm out of place. And what that usually means is they've lost their process and their game plan, like Nelly Korda knew that this was a hole that suited my eye.
Yeah.
This was a hole that didn't suit my eye. Therefore, if it doesn't suit your eye, that's a conservative hole.
Yeah.
And what that usually means is you haven't stuck to your process. And you might have gone at a flag that you shouldn't have because it didn't suit your ball flight.
Yeah.
And now your game's a little bit untidy. And so I think the one thing with Scotty is that he appears to know where he can go at things and where he can't.
Yeah.
And his short game is, he's probably one of the best pitchers in the game right now.
Yeah.
And it means that if he misses a green, who cares?
Yeah. And it's a calculated risk.
It's a calculated risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're playing guys and girls, make sure that you know where your strengths are. Play to them, not away from them.
Yeah.
Right? So when we go and play Ferry Point, which we should be on not this week, but next week.
I believe, yep.
Yeah, so we know that there's holes there that just don't suit my eye. There's holes that don't suit your eye. So maybe on the holes that don't suit your eye, don't go at them. Just be a little more Scotty Scheffler conservative.
Yeah.
And then if there's holes that, you know, do suit your eye.
Yeah, wait for your time to strike.
So what are we working on? So this week we're going to get back to you. So we're going to work on
that little dip in my before I swing.
Get onto your toes a little bit.
Staying in the good posture.
Yeah. What feels toes.
Yep. And then I did a better job, I think, getting steeper in my backswing. So it's a little quieter here.
Yeah.
Slow it down, upper body. Let the hips lead and
let
go
the
from
hips.
There.
And I'm going to work on just getting again, just trying to get a little more width going back. And I've just got to actually hit more. I tend to hit lots of 8-irons and I might just start to 5 8-irons, 1 5-iron.
Yeah, it makes
5 8-irons, 1 4-iron. I remember hit a couple, and I use tiny blades as we hope everyone does.
Yeah.
And I just hadn't hit the 4-iron.
Yeah, in a while.
Because I've had to get a new set of clubs because I've sold my old set to one of our members here. We're getting new swing blades coming in, but they're taking a little bit of time.
Yeah.
So I had brand new 4-iron. I'm like, oh, I haven't hit this before.
Yeah, I'll see how this goes.
See how this goes. Look, beauty golfers, thanks for joining us. And remember, you can absolutely own your swing by the work you put into your entire game.
Yeah.
So keep on swinging, keep playing away, process, process, process.
Stick to it, give every shot a chance, and we'll be back next week with more. Thanks, guys.